We're talking about a new project that zoos around the country are taking part in to help with some of the conservation efforts for tigers. Now, not every tiger sounds the same, and so the Pruston Project is a global effort that's recording the unique sounds that tigers in captivity make. It's kind of like taking a vocal fingerprint to get a better idea of how many tigers are still left in the wild. Wisconsin's Milwaukee County Zoo is the only Midwestern zoo to be working with the Pruston Project to record the voices of tigers, and those new recordings are going to sound something like this. Here to tell us more is Courtney Dunn, founder and executive director of the Pruston Project, who's researched how tiger vocalizations can be used to identify individual animals. And also joining us in a little bit, we'll have Amanda Ista with us as well. She's a zookeeper at the Milwaukee County Zoo working with tigers that are being studied. Courtney, welcome to you.
Good afternoon.
And Amanda, great to have you along as well.
Good afternoon.
And Courtney, we'll start with you. What made you decide that we should start paying attention to the way that tigers sound when it comes to monitoring their conservation?
Well, several years ago when whale conservation really took off, something that helped gain public interest in the cause was the fact that whales seemed to be singing songs in the ocean. And when I first started working with tigers, I started noticing such a wide range of calls they make, and it was kind of a funny idea at the time that, hey, maybe we could use tiger songs to help people care about them. That simple thought just slowly turned into, well, let's see what's in these vocalizations. Maybe there actually is something in these vocalizations that we could use to help them.
Well, it's an interesting thing, Amanda. I'm going to turn to you. I've take my children to the zoo. I love to watch animals, to see them at zoos, and I haven't ever heard a tiger vocalize. I don't think of tigers as being very vocal animals. Are they, Amanda?
Actually, they are pretty vocal. The tigers are probably the most vocal cats that we have behind the lions. The lions tend to call to each other a little bit more, but our tigers are pretty vocal, and it depends on individual tigers, but this new guy that we got in is actually very vocal.
Who's the new guy?
His name is Stronic. We got him in about a couple months ago from Toledo Zoo, so he's here to breed with one of our females, and he's definitely making his presence known. You can hear him on the outside floor when he's in the back holding area, so people knew he was here even before he went on exhibit.
And Courtney, what do we know so far about tigers' voices, and what can we learn from them?
So the specific call that we study is something called a long call. A lot of people actually refer to it as a true roar because it's what that example was at the beginning of this show. What we know from that is that it can travel anywhere from 2 to over 3 miles away. And tigers use that a lot to communicate with each other long distance. From anything from just saying, hey, I'm here, to, hey, get out of my territory. With our project, what we found with that is that that vocalization is extremely unique per individual. And there's also clues in those calls to whether the individual calling is male or female. So, as you mentioned earlier, it's kind of like a vocal fingerprint from just one sound they make.
And it sounds as though the vocalizations of male and female tigers are pretty distinct. What is the difference, Courtney?
So it's just like a human. If you were to be speaking to a guy, you'd probably notice that he usually has a deeper voice than perhaps you. And it's the same with most animals, but especially with tigers. They have a really deep voice if they're a male, and the females tend to have a higher vocalization. What's really interesting about this is the females are a lot easier to tell apart amongst each other than males amongst other males. So males typically sound about the same. They're only different to a few degrees, but the females can vary quite a bit on a range.
And Amanda, I want to bring you in on this. Now, have you started recording the tigers yet at the Milwaukee County Zoo?
We have. We've been recording them on and off probably for about a month or so now.
What is that process like?
It's actually really easy, which makes it really nice to do because we don't have to do a ton with it. We just set the recorder up, we make sure it's working, and then we move it to the closest spot to where the tiger is. So we rotate our tigers on a pretty regular basis between
their indoor holding, their outdoor exhibit, and their indoor exhibit. So wherever the tiger goes, it kind of follows them. It doesn't go in with them, but we move it near them. So it will be the closest to that tiger.
And is there a special kind of microphone that you're using? Any sort of tiger-ready microphone?
It's actually a device that Courtney probably knows a lot more about. She made it very easy for us to just set up and get going and hook up the microphone, so she could probably tell you a little more details on that.
Courtney, what is the microphone like?
Yeah, so it is very anticlimactic to look at this recorder. You think it's going to be one fancy piece of equipment, and there are some really fancy-looking recorders and microphones out there. But the one we use is just a green bar. There's no features on the outside. It's just solid green, and it's just a simple little acoustic microphone that sticks off to one side. And most people, when they look at it, they think you're just carrying around a little green box, but they don't realize that on the inside is this huge computer system that can collect such a wide range of sound.
Talking with Courtney Dunn right now, founder of the Prouston Project, which records the vocal communications of tigers in American zoos to understand how they're surviving in the wild. And also, Amanda Ista is with us as well from the Milwaukee County Zoo, where she's a zookeeper and someone who is recording the vocalizations of tigers. And Courtney, Milwaukee is one of the zoos that's participating in this Prouston Project. What other zoos are you working with?
Oh, there are several of them. I feel like the list increases every day as more find out about us and start contacting us to contribute. One of probably the most familiar facilities that people that's actually in our project is the San Diego Safari Park. We'll actually be traveling to them in April, about mid-April, to go record their collection of tigers. But we've also recorded at the Tulsa Zoo, Topeka Zoo, and even the Dallas Zoo, which is right next door to where I work. So it kind of varies. We have people from all over the country that are interested in starting to contribute to our research.
So once you've got this collection of tiger vocalizations, what do you do with it?
So it is really not as complex as some people think. We are recording about 24-hour sets of sound from these tigers. And at first glance, you probably think that there's somebody sitting at a computer listening to 24-hour recordings of tigers, hoping they find something. But we actually have a program called Raven Pro that is used by Cornell. It was developed for birdsong research, but it can be used for just about anything. And with Raven Pro, we can take those files, and it turns a sound into a picture. And we look at these sound files in about 60-second segments. And those tiger calls, oddly enough, they show up as something that looks like tiger stripes. Huh. So they're very easy to find amongst all other sounds that we happen to pick up.
So then you've got this catalog, and then how do you use it for the conservation of tigers?
Mm-hmm. So we're currently still in the beginning stages of what we hope to accomplish. What we're using from the files right now is basically to determine how these tigers are unique, so what particular characteristics about their vocalizations make them a fingerprint. So we look at things called fundamental frequencies. We look at the duration that they call, amongst all other characteristics that we happen to find. And all of those characteristics combined make a unique profile for an individual tiger. Now, the goal is to eventually build this into a computer program to where if you put in any file, that computer program would be able to sort through the file automatically and say, oh, that's Tiger 52 or that's Tiger 68. The idea behind it is you can put that program in the wild and the recorder's in the wild, and any time a wild tiger vocalizes or passes by that recorder, you would instantly have information about the tiger without even seeing it.
And as we wrap up here, Courtney, how urgent are the efforts of tiger conservationists right now?
Most tiger subspecies are listed as endangered, but there actually are quite a few of them that are at the critical level, which is just one step above being declared extinct in the wild. There's about 3,200 tigers left in the wild, and that number dwindles every day. The biggest concern with this is, of course, no one ever wants to see a tiger not exist in the wild. But some people approach me and they're like, well, we'll always have tigers in zoos. We can always see them if we want. But the problem with tigers not being in the wild is they support their entire ecosystem. So without a tiger in place, those other animals in the ecosystem would no longer be able to exist, and slowly the forest would start collapsing. And this always raises the question, well, how does this affect me? I live here in the United States. That's occurring in Asia. How does it directly affect me? Well, what most people don't realize is a lot of our modern-day medicine still come from rainforests, and a lot of our products come from the rainforest, too. With a healthy rainforest, you can have a healthy life, even way over here in the United States, without even realizing it. So it's a very dire situation, but I have a lot of hope for it, especially with all these zoos that are very interested in helping out the cause.
Courtney, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Courtney Dunn, founder of the Prouston Project, which records the vocal communication of tigers in zoos to better understand how many there are in the wild. And Amanda Ista, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
Amanda is a zookeeper in Wisconsin at the Milwaukee County Zoo, where she records the voices of tigers for the Prouston Project.